All right. Good morning, everybody. We are really looking forward to Christmas. We are going to have a Christmas Eve service again, and it'll be a communion night. Plus, that night I'm going to show. How many of you ever saw the movie The Nativity when it came out? Did you see The Nativity, the one that was at the theaters? Kind of hard to remember. But we're going to show it that night. I mean, it really is a great movie. I watch it every year. And I had it. I'm going to rebuy it. You know, I had lots of things. And it's over on Seward Forest Boulevard, that big old pile of stuff over there. And so we'll grab another one, but we'll show it in here. And we have a great time looking forward to it. And we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to Christmas. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that Paul wrote Timothy and said, all scripture is good for reproof, for correction, for encouragement. But he also said for doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. And a lot of charismatics don't like that word doctrine. But, you know, that is a valid part of understanding. So this morning I want to teach. It'd be a sermon, but it'd be a little bit of doctrine in it. And I think it'll help us because what I was doing, I was studying about the Magi, the Star of Bethlehem, beginning a series on Christmas. And it just grabbed my heart about this. And I want to talk to you. 1 John chapter 1 says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we claim to you also that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. And in him there is no darkness. He said, now this, now go back to verse 5. Says, this is the message we, go back to verse 5 if you can. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is, they heard this from God. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from, everybody say all. Everybody say it one more time, say all. Dude, that means that's like a bonus. That is, if we say, you know, later on it says, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But if we confess our sin, then he forgives us. But over here, it's a bonus. It says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us, not just from the confessed sins, even sins you don't know about. Even the ones you forgot about. He says, here's the bonus. He will cleanse you from all sin. When you walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship. You know, one of the big deals about it is when you agree with God, his blood cleanses you when you walk with him. But if you disagree with God, how many know you can get in big trouble? You can get in trouble. All right, verse 5. Because verse 5 is going to be our message. This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. I want to talk to you today about God is light. Everybody say amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray for opening hearts and minds to understand your word. We thank you, Lord, and we say and confess with all our hearts that we cannot just grasp it mentally. It'll do us no good. But we ask for the Holy Spirit to quicken the word today, Lord, and bring it to where we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Turn around and greet somebody while you're being seated one more time. Second Peter chapter 1, Peter was old in years and he was battle-scarred and weary, and he says that at the end of his life was drawing near. And listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 1. He says, therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. And what Peter is saying, he said, listen, I'm getting older. I'm about to leave. And he said, the time of my departure is close. Remember, God, I think there's something in our lives that we can know when our time of death is drawing near. Paul said, my time of departure is near. Peter says, I'm about to put off this dwelling. You'll see it in just a second. On and on, Simeon, the old man in the temple, waiting when he saw Jesus come in as a baby, says, now let your servant depart in peace, for you fulfilled your promise unto me. And I like what it says, because Peter sensed his death was drawing near. In verse 15, he says it this. He says, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Departure in the Greek language, it means the road out. In the Hebrew, it was defined as, or it was interpreted as Exodus. We have the book of Exodus. And he literally used that word. He said, "There's an my time of Exodus is drawing near. My time of departure, or the road out." And he was looking forward to it. But at the end, he said, but I want to remind you about some things. He said, I want to tell you, he said, in verse 16, he says, knowing that the laying aside of this earthly dwelling is imminent, as also the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales or fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this isn't something like the Greek mythology. It's not something the rabbinical had a bunch of fables and Jesus encountered them. And Peter writes this, we're not making up stories. We're not just telling this is like the same story as this other religion, that other religion, this religion is telling. He said, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made... How many know it's true what we're talking about today? It is real what we're talking about. It is life and death. Made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such as an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory... This is my beloved. He's talking about the time when he and Peter, James, and John went with the Lord up on the mountain. And the Bible says something happened that it's kind of one of those things you wonder, what in the world? It says he was transfigured before them. Literally, he says, for when we received honor and glory from God, for when he received honor and glory from God, such as an utterance that this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my, go back to Matthew, he says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as what? Let me tell you what this was. This is how he really is. This is what he looks like in reality. He was transfigured to what he really was. See, I believe that's why demons would scream out when he would come into a room, because they could see him like he really was. They just saw a Jew with a long nose and beard and all that. But in the spirit realm, this is what he looks like. In reality, today, this is what he looks like. His garments shine like this. His face shines like the sun. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. He saw him in heaven. And he said he was like the sun in its radiance. And this day he's put there and suddenly he's transfigured. He's been a man. He humbled himself. He became the. But now he's being shown at this moment what he really is. His garments became white as what? Light. Go back to 1 Peter. This is what he was talking about. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance that was made to him by the majestic glory, said, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So Peter begins to write. Peter says, that's how it's going to be, listen, when he comes again. Verse 18, look at this. And we ourselves heard his utterance. This is what he looked like on the mountain. When he comes, when he returns to earth, he came the first time as a resident. He's coming the next time as president. Come on, somebody. He's going to look like this when he comes again. He's going to be glorious. He's not going to be a babe in a manger. He's not going to be just like an ordinary. He's going to look like he really is. He laid aside his glory. He told him one time in the garden, he said, my desire is for you to be with me, that you may behold my glory, which I had with the Father before the worlds began. I've laid it all aside. It's all gone. It's just, but the Bible said, but look what he wrote in 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, Now watch this. Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. I was reading this through. I want to get he says this. You do well to pay attention to a lamp shining. How many know this is a dark place we're living in right now? It's been a dark world. It's been a dark world since Adam sinned. And the Bible prophesied, listen, of the coming one who would bring light to the world. I like what it says in Luke chapter 1. Look at this. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. This is a prophetic word given to John the Baptist. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise, watch this, from which the sunrise from on high will visit us. From which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Look at verse 79. Same word as a morning star, just so you know. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet in the way of, because we live in a dark world. And so from on high, the sunrise from on high is going to visit us. Because we live in a darkened world. The Bible speaks about their minds. In fact, it's a picture of a little cottage in a dark, dark, dreary night when it's storming and raining. And all of a sudden, the artist will just put a touch of yellow on the window. And everything changes. Let me tell you, the artist of heaven one day, in a darkened world full of storms, put a little yellow into this world. And the sunrise from on high visit. Look what Matthew 4, listen to this. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. That means that they had no knowledge of God. They were dark in terms of religiousness. Even though they were Jewish lands, they were inhabited by Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw what? Saw great. Great. You know, when Jesus went there, they were dwelling in darkness. And in those regions, suddenly in that darkness came a great light. Those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. When he began to utter the truth that had been absolutely lost, and men's hearts were darkened because of sin, and their minds were darkened. The Bible speaks of it that way. And they lived in a land of darkness. The Bible says the sunrise from on earth, from heaven, came down to earth and began to inhabit these dark places. And people were, as it were, saw a great light that set in darkness. I like that. Everybody say amen. Look at John 8. Here's what he said. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. How many remember Dr. Douglas and his darling daughter, Yvonne? Any remember Dr. Douglas? I am the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Some of you don't remember all that. Did you know they were actually good looking? I saw them. I mean, you listen, you ever, this is Dr. Douglas and my darling daughter, Yvonne. I thought they looked like they talked, but they were good looking. I mean, they. Did Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he said, I'm the light of the world. Look what he said in John 12. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees the one who sent me. And the reason he said that was, he says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Because God is light. And he that's seen me has seen the Father. And I've come as a light into the world. He came as a light. Look what he said in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light. Everybody say light. Was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. They rejected him. So he begins, there came a day, listen, when darkness reached its peak. And the sunrise from on high, which is the same word in the Greek as morning star. The sunrise from on high has visited us and brought light. And when he would move from place to place, it says there would be prophetic words that said those that sat in Zebulun and Naphtali, they would see a great light that set in darkness. And he would go within the religious group and he said, a great light has come in. I don't know about you. I remember the day I gave my heart to the Lord, and it was like a light bulb went off in my brain. And I saw things, I saw birds differently. I can't explain. I remember driving down the road. I saw birds differently. It's like a light came off in me. It's like I'd been in darkness, but a light came. But the Bible says he came, and when he came, his own received him not. And though they sat in darkness, they did not receive the light. And so they rejected it, and they made a public proclamation. In John chapter 3, it says this way, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. How many know cockroaches don't like light? Come on, somebody. I'll leave that right there. You add that. His own received him not. And you know what he said? Listen, watch this. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. All right? Now look at this. Look at what Jesus said in 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? Well, I was with you daily. Everybody say, in the light. You didn't lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of what? He said, you didn't come after me in the light. This power and the power of darkness is your hour. Darkness is, in fact, it was the day man put out the light. And I'm going to tell you, there came a day when man extinguished the light. In fact, it's even written that way. One of the things happened at the crucifixion. And now from the sixth hour, what fell? Darkness fell at the crucifixion. Why did it fall at the crucifixion? Because they were extinguishing the sunrise from on high. He had come into the world as a light. And his own, the world, received him not. And now as he was being extinguished, God paints a picture outwardly of what's happening inwardly in the world. As the light is being extinguished, he's hanging on a cross. He's just hours away from death. The light goes out in the world. And darkness. In fact, you read the secular writers from around the world, the heathen writers from around the world. The darkness wasn't just in Jerusalem. It covered the entire earth. There are secular writings that historians have on record that literally darkness enveloped the whole earth. One heathen writer wrote, surely someplace God has died. Darkness came. The light was extinguished. Man put out the light and darkness descended upon mankind. And let me tell you, to this day, darkness descends upon mankind because they extinguished the light. Listen, I got to tell you the bad news first. There's good news, all right? Listen, it's a dark world we live in. And it gets darker by the age. The Bible says men will grow more and more evil, deceiving and being deceived. But the holiness, the righteousness, this, and since that day, darkness has grown in intensity. In fact, this is one aspect of hell. It's darkness. Did you know that? One aspect of hell, along with everything else, is that it is sheer darkness because it is the absence of any light. See, on our darkest nights, we have some light somewhere. But there is an aspect of, in fact, look what Peter wrote about it again. It says, but these like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling while they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reviling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgressions, for the mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has, let me tell you what, one aspect of hell is the absence of God who is light. And in the Greek language, it means, I wrote down, it means the blackness of darkness. It didn't know how to almost say it. It says, whom the black darkness, it's just not just darkness, it's the blackness of darkness. You've been somewhere before you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And it's darker than that. It's blacker than that. The Greek was as black as it could get it, to where there would be absolutely the absence of any ounce of light, because God, it's over. God has now abandoned them. They are now in the blackness of darkness. But there is a light. Everybody say, there is a light shining in the dark. Come on, somebody. Second Peter says it's a prophetic word, is a lamp. In fact, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The word is a lamp. Without the light, we would be dwell in darkness, without comfort and without encouragement. I like what Ephesians 4 says it this way. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being what? Darkened in their understanding. Excluded from the life of God because the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness, being darkened in... See, I'm going to tell you, mankind without God, they may be moral, but they're darkened in their understanding. The light has not come in. The light, the Bible says they are darkened in their... Look what Ephesians 5 says. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from your dead, and Christ will shine on you. Everybody say amen. Amen. Look at 1 John 2. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded. How many know that bitterness can blind your eyes? You're not walking in light. You're not walking in understanding. You're walking in the darkness. You're doing that. Peter wrote, listen, without the light, men do this. men in darkness run their hands over the experiences of life and try to come up with ideas. And some of them are right and a lot of them are wrong because their minds are darkened. I don't care how moral, how good they are, they can run their hands over. It's like being blind and running your hands over the experience of your life or experience and trying to figure out what something is and describe it that way. But I'm going to tell you, when light comes in and your eyes are opened and you see the world as it is and you see yourself and you see God and you see everything else, you literally come up. And the only light there is in this world is the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. To be able to see again. You know, it's one thing not to know that, but to be able to see again. To know truth. Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, I have come. Are you a king? And Jesus said, you have rightly said. For this purpose came I into this world. For this cause was I born. To bear witness of the truth. And you know what Pilate said? What is truth? What's truth to you may not be truth to me. It's relative if you are in darkness. Because if you're in darkness and you're running your hands over the experience of life, well, your reality and your truth will be different than the other blind person that's running their hands over their experience of their life. But cut the light. Go in there and cut the light on. And then they both look and say, oh, there's the truth. And when Pilate said, what is truth? He realized he didn't know. It's like the blind man Bartimaeus. At least he knew he was blind. And he sat by a roadside. He screamed his lungs out till Jesus came. And what do you want? He said, I want to see. And you ought to read it because it's very particular. It says when he was sitting there screaming, they tried to quiet him down. He wouldn't quiet down. And finally they said, the master calls for you. And here's what he did. Casting away his garment, he came to Jesus. That's a very important point. I'm going to tell you because, listen, that garment meant everything to him. To a blind man, his one possession in life. It covered him during the storms. It covered him during the hot days in Palestine. It covered and warmed him during the depth of the world. But you know what? The Bible says, casting away his garment, he came to Jesus because he knew he was about to get his sight. Let me tell you, if your salvation didn't cost you anything, you didn't get salvation. If all you did was say a little prayer and you live in the same life, it didn't cost you anything, you didn't get salvation. Let's move right on. All right, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at this. I love this. So now we have the prophetic word made more sure. Now watch this, here's the end. To which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place. Everybody say the word until. Until something happens. Watch this. Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. What does that mean? What would it? Because it's the same word that prophesied to John the Baptist when he said that the sunrise from on high is going to be. It's the same word, same in the Greek. The morning star from on high would visit us. And he came, but the light was extinguished. But here is Peter writing now, years later, decades later, he says, the prophetic word is going to be like a light, a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. Because you don't need a lamp when the day comes, is that right? You don't need to put the nightlight on when the day comes. But when the day comes, you're no longer needing the prophetic. You don't need that anymore because it's happening. Let me, if I can explain this and get it to you. There's something coming. Let me say, there's something coming. That Peter says the prophetic word would be like the lamp, the night lamp. But when the day comes, you're not going to need it anymore. It's only until the day, the darkness passes and the day dawns. And then you don't need it anymore. So the prophetic word is like a lamp shining in a dark place until daylight comes. So let me have explained this way. Before Jesus arises on the world, well, let me say it. I can say this. The lamp is going to continue to burn until darkness comes, until the light comes. There's something coming. The day is going to dawn. But before Jesus isn't, Jesus is coming. But before Jesus comes back, let me say it this way. Before Jesus comes back, there is going to be something arise first. Let me say it that way. what Peter's talking about, before Jesus the Son rises again on this world, the day star rises. Let me say it that way. Revelation 22:16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of the David, the bright morning star. In astronomy, Venus and Mercury has always been long been recognized for hundreds of years as the morning stars. Even though they're planets, you know, Mercury and Venus are planets, their orbit is closest to the sun. And they're always the brightest right before dawn, and evening star as well, but I'm just doing it the morning. Right before the morning breaks, as the sun, as the earth is rotating, let me just make it just so, as the sun is rising, those two planets, even though they're called the morning star, those two planets receive the light of the sun because they're closest to the sun, their orbits. And so in the morning time, the brightest objects in heaven, right before the sun rises, are the morning star. It's the brightest thing because it's reflecting the light of the sun that's now just about to rise. Even though it's the earth, I know it's the earth, right? Let me just do that. It's the sun rising, and these two planets that's closest to the sun are now receiving the radiance of the, and now they're the brightest things in the heavens, and they are signaling that the sun is about to rise. The morning star, which is really a planet, is signaling the sun is about to rise. You get up every morning and just watch it and see, oh, the sun's about to rise. Why do you know the sun's about to rise? Because I see the morning star. And it's receiving the glory of the sun. It's shining on that. It has no, it's not like a star which has, so it's the power of the sun. And now it does it in the evening, but it does. And so we know that the sun is about to rise. Now watch this. They appear at the darkest hour of the night, and they appear as lights in the heavens just before the rising. And mankind sees these stars and a prophetic announcement. The sun is about to rise. They have no light of their own. Listen, the morning star arising in the heavens tells of a certainty, the imminent rising. It doesn't tell you the exact minute. No man can know the day or the hour. But Jesus said, you can sure do know the season. Just look at the season. And watch this. I don't know how to explain this. The stars are always there. It's just the rising of the sun that illuminates them. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at this again, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Now watch this. The day star is Jesus, is already in our heart. Jesus has come. We live in a dark world. They extinguish the light. But for us, the morning star has come to live within us. The sunrise from on high has come to live in us. Jesus is living in us. And we have the light of the world in us. But we live in a dark world. But the Bible says this, the prophetic word was given until. It's a very specific time. Listen, there was, let me just say it this way. When the time of Jesus is, when Jesus is going to come back, no man can know the day or the hour, but we can know the season. And before Jesus comes back, here's what's going to happen. Before the sun rises a second time, the day stars appear. The morning star appears. It's a prophetic signaling of the coming of the sun. That's what he's talking about. He's saying before the sun rises, the morning star announces prophetically the sun is coming. See it rising. The morning star now is risen. The sunrise is risen. And it's a prophetic word that the sun is just about to rise. And if you study church history, even though Peter wrote about it, Paul wrote about it, the coming of the Lord. Did you know when you study church history for centuries on centuries, there was no sermons about the coming of the Lord? There was no plays in those days, like movies. There was no plays about the coming of the Lord. There was no emphasis on the coming of the Lord. None of that. But did you know at the turn of this century, something changed in the body of Christ? There was no organized effort. There was no program. But across the world, there began to rise in the hearts of people the morning star, that they began to talk about the coming of the Lord. The Lord might be coming back soon. W.E. Banks, Black, wrote a book in the 1900s called Jesus is Coming Again. That truth had been lost in the church. Was never spoken about hardly. Something far off. But in this last decade, the last generation that you and I are living in, there's been movies made about it, sermons preached about it, dates part about it. In fact, Glenn just went back to Chicago. He believes it's going to happen in 2 years. Come on, somebody. He's planning on a 2 year, and the Lord is coming back. And read about the blood moons. Read about all this. We begin to see what the Lord is doing in the earth. And the morning star is rising in your hearts. Signaling in the heart of the church, the morning star is rising. It's the sun about to rise. Come on, somebody, about to rise again. We don't know exactly when. We just know that Jesus is coming soon. The Magi of old, I believe, saw the day star. I'll go with my own opinion, what I believe that way. He rose and proclaimed the coming of the Son of God the first time. But now there is rising in the hearts of the church the day star. What's that? The sun is about to come up now, and it's giving glory. It's giving announcement. I'm coming. Come on, somebody. I'm coming. I'm coming. We're about to take the road out. And the day star has risen. The sunrise is just around the corner. Everybody say amen. I like what he wrote in Revelation 22. He said it this way. After he said all this, I Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to these things for the churches. I'm the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Because I'm the bright morning star, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. John Paul wrote it this way in Acts 26. He says, here's your ministry, Paul, to open the eyes so they may turn from darkness to light. And from the dominion of Satan to God, they receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in him. In Revelation 22, again, I love this. Here's what's going to happen when we get to heaven. Watch this. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as a... Listen, you're going to see this river of life sooner than later, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and the bondservants will serve him. We shall see it; they shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever. Come on, somebody. Come on, give it a look. And he said in Revelation 21, he says, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Everybody say amen. Isaiah 60 then says it this way. So why don't you arise and shine, for your light has come. There's no song we sing, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord. And I like this last one, this last scripture today. We're going, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous. I want you to darken the room. Can we darken the thing a little bit? I want you to watch this. This is a prophetic word given at a church where they were just singing, and they began to sing this prophetic word. And I want you to listen to this because, you know, when you're in darkness, the devil, one of the best deterrents to a thief is light. They tell you, put your outside lights on, keep all those going. And some of you, because you've dwelt in darkness, the devil has stolen stuff from you. And there's a lady and a guy, and I really I love the guy at the end. You'll see it. It's just a few minutes long. But it's a prophetic word about God calling us out of his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. And because what happens when you dwell in darkness, you can get robbed. The devil can rob you and beat you and do all this until you know you're not in darkness, you're in light. Come out of the darkness. This is prophetic word that we're going to end this morning.
Pull me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Give me back what was mine. Make all things new. You pull the sun of darkness into your marvelous light. Gave me back what was.
Everybody stand up. Come on, stand up this morning. Lord, we love you today. We thank you that you, the sunrise from on high, has come to visit us. We thank you, Lord, in this place that if any have slipped back in darkness today, Lord, they decide to walk in the light as you're in the light. And Lord, it will cleanse us from all sin. And so, Lord, today we confess what we know, but then we believe in the power of walking in the light, which activates the power of the blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Things we know and things we don't know, Lord, that your blood will do that. So this morning, maybe you're there and you need to have God just to tug at your heart one more time. You need the day star. You need the morning star to rise in your heart one more time. You need to know that God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and that God can come in and shine, and the darkness cannot overcome it and cannot comprehend it, but the light can come into your life. And maybe you've never had that. Maybe you've never had the light bulb go off in your life. Maybe you've never known that once you were in darkness and now you're in light. That like Paul said, you've turned there from to draw people out of darkness into this marvelous light. And he's called us out of darkness to his marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. In the Greek, it's marvelous light. And so this morning, maybe you need God to do that. Maybe you need to say, God. And when you do that, I want everybody to pray with you. Say, dear God, I ask you this morning, draw me out of darkness into your marvelous light. I ask Jesus, the light of the world, to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me from all sin as I walk in the light. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Give him a great clap offering this morning. Would you do that? Hey, bow your heads one more time. Maybe you need God to fight for you again. Maybe you're in a dark place and darkness is trying to overcome you. And you're standing there and you know that you're in the light. And you need him to come and fight for you in that dark season of your life. And know there is a light that shines in darkness. And I'm going to tell you, there is rising in the hearts of people knowing Jesus is coming soon. We don't know, but we just know the prophetic announcement, because the morning star has risen in our hearts. And we know that Jesus is rising in our hearts. And there is this understanding. The prophetic word is, it's about to be supplanted by the day. The lamp of the prophetic word is about to be supplanted by the coming of the Son of God one more time. But as he came the first time with announcements, he's coming this second time with announcements. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We take these little things that we're dealing with right here and know that one day they will be nothing in comparison. When we walk those golden streets, there'll be no more darkness. There'll be no more light. There'll be no night, rather. There'll only be the light of the Lamb of God. You'll illumine us, Lord, in every way. We love you. Everybody said amen. Give one more good clap offering. Come on.